Welcome everyone to the Instructional Leadership Show. I'm your host, Justin Bader, and this is episode 37 for January 7th, 2020. And our topic today is setting quarterly goals. This is a time of year when there's tremendous power in setting goals for what we will accomplish over the next 90 days. As always on the Instructional Leadership Show, it is our purpose here to help you confidently get into classrooms every day, have feedback conversations that change teacher practice, and discover your best opportunities for school improvement. And just yesterday, I was encouraging people to start strong in 2020 by getting into every classroom back to back, just all at once, go visit every single classroom back to back just to get started and break the ice, you know, just kind of warm people up, get going again, get in the habit of getting into classrooms, because that, I believe, is where every good thing that happens as an instructional leader begins. In the classroom is where we belong as instructional leaders, because that's where the real work of our organizations is taking place. So if you are a superintendent, if you are a central office administrator, the same thing is true. You belong in classrooms. And I want to encourage you to make this the year that you start getting into classrooms more with principals. And as we're going to see today, that classroom habit is central to whatever your goals are for the quarter. And we're going to do some planning today in figuring out what your priority is for the first quarter and thinking ahead to the second quarter of 2020 as well. In terms of our roadmap, every month in the Instructional Leadership Association, we have a theme, and that theme determines the subject of our weekly shows, as well as the playbook that we send out at the end of the month. And our theme for the month of January is productivity. And kind of the motto of that theme, or that stage of our rubric, is get current. And getting current, you can read more about this in our full roadmap rubric, getting current is all about being on top of your work enough that you can get into classrooms. And I'll read you level 4 from that column of our rubric. Level 4 says, I have well-optimized systems to keep me organized so I can confidently get into classrooms every day without worrying about my other work. And over the past couple of weeks, I've shared a few systems for paper productivity and keeping that aspect of your work under control. But I think ultimately, we have to ask ourselves, what are we optimizing for? Right? We want our systems to be optimized in order to achieve our goals. But we have to ask, what am I optimizing for? And I would suggest that if you are an instructional leader, the number one thing to optimize for is getting into classrooms. And every quarter, every different time of the year, we're going to have a different focus or a different intention behind that. But I wanted to start today by establishing this idea of a priority that we are optimizing for. If you've ever looked up the word priority or seen a discussion of this, there's a concept out there that says originally the word priority did not have a plural. And we use the word in the plural sense all the time these days. We say, well, I have a lot of priorities this week. I want to make sure I achieve all of my priorities. And we use it as a plural without really thinking what priority means. Priority means first, right? If we do something as a priority, it's the thing that we do first. You can only have a number one priority. Now, you can have a second priority, but you can't have two first priorities. So I think we need to be a little bit more careful about our language. And of course, we need to prioritize. I'm not saying we don't prioritize and rank order or sequence the tasks that we're going to focus on or the projects that we're going to complete. But really, we can only have one priority, one first or top priority. And having multiple top priorities is really the same as failing to choose. When we have not selected our top priority and we say, well, these 5 things are all my top priority. Well, we know that that really means that none of them is truly our top priority. So this is our starting point for productivity in the new year. Our starting point is to choose a priority for the quarter and then optimize around that. Now, a lot of people think about planning for the new year or planning for a new quarter as this detailed planning process. And I personally am not a person who loves detailed plans. You know, if you're the kind of person like the Hermione Granger personality who gets all of her textbooks at the beginning of summer and reads them before the school year even begins and then is totally ready. And, you know, that's not personally how I operate. And I think we do a lot of wasted effort. You know, we commit to a lot of wasted effort when we over plan. We don't need a 100% detailed strategic plan with every detail planned out for the next 90 days. I personally find that a little bit confining, but we do need to have a big quarterly priority identified if we're going to organize our efforts around that priority, right? We need to optimize for one thing first and foremost in order to achieve that thing. And that thing, that one priority, probably should not change very much unless our circumstances change dramatically. So we'll talk about a couple of examples of what you might choose for your priority. I will not deign to tell you what your priority should be, but based on your role, based on where you are in your career, I have some good guesses about what they might be. And if you don't go with the priorities that I suggest, that's totally fine, but just get clear with yourself about what your priority is for the first quarter of 2020. Now, before we go any further, I want to make sure that you understand and are aware that we have a tool for you to use to achieve your priorities, and we call it the Instructional Leadership Association Daily Planner. And you can print this out. It's got space to plan your day, to plan your tasks for the day, clarify what you're grateful for. We've got some note-taking space, kind of a bullet grid there, some key conversations. This can be used for keeping track of your classroom visits or formal observations or just phone calls that you need to make. I want to encourage you to print that out and use it in hard copy. Someone was asking us the other day, is this an electronically fillable planner? And I had to say, no, it's not, because A, on different computers, different devices, they either will or will not save what you type into a PDF. Sometimes it's not good. We don't want people to be surprised by how their computer works when it comes to PDFs. But also, this just works better on paper, right? Like having something physically on your desk, it's nicely organized, it's not clutter, it's not a bunch of little random sticky notes. You can put your sticky notes in it, but there's a lot of power in having it on paper and being able to use a physical pen and write on physical paper. So it's very intentional that we do not make that available as a fillable electronic document. We just send you a PDF, you print it out. I personally like to coil bind it. You can keep it in a folder or a three-ring binder, or just if you have one of those giant staplers in your school, you can staple it, whatever works for you. I personally like the coil binding because it makes a nice book that way. So use that every day to plan the next day, to keep yourself on track throughout the day, and to make sure that you are making progress toward your priority for the quarter. Now, last week on the Instructional Leadership Show, we talked about setting the four types of goals. So if you did not listen to that one, make sure you go back and listen to episode 36 of the Instructional Leadership Show, where we talked about the Achievement Science Goal System, which has four levels, right? You have your ultimate purpose goals, you have your big phase or milestone goals that you're accomplishing on the way to achieving your ultimate purpose. A level down, we have your progress goals or SMART goals, you know, the kind of quantitative goals that allow you to measure your progress. And then below that, at the very bottom, we have practice goals, or what you actually do, you know, putting in the work, taking the action to move toward your bigger goals. So thinking about the quarter, thinking about your quarterly priority, many times the quarterly priority lines up with a milestone, right? So probably what you are going to be doing as your priority for the quarter is best described as a milestone or phase goal, that second from the top level. You know, you're probably not going to achieve world peace as your quarterly goal, but you are going to accomplish something big. And a lot of those big, meaningful milestone goals are too big to do in a week. They're too big to knock out in a couple of weeks, but a quarter ends up being just about right. And if you let them stretch beyond a quarter, you know, maybe we start to lose some focus and lose some time. The quarter really is kind of a magical unit of time that has been proven for decades and even centuries to be a useful unit of time in both education and business, right? So higher education is all organized around quarters, and even the schools that use semesters, really a semester is kind of two quarters, or, you know, depending on how they divide that up. Quarters are incredibly useful as a chunk of time where we can get some serious work done. Businesses know this. Businesses know if we're going to make serious progress toward our annual goals, it's helpful to not just keep an eye on our goals weekly or daily, and not just check in once a year, but to actually check in periodically once a quarter and see if we're on track, see if we need to make some adjustments. But what I think is strange, even though quarters are ubiquitous in planning in business, and even though they're ubiquitous in the university system, and probably your school issues report cards every 9 weeks, which is basically an academic quarter, we don't really do much with the quarter in our personal lives or in our professional goal setting. And I want to encourage you to correct that oversight today by choosing a quarterly priority. Now, I have a couple of examples here. If you are a school-based administrator, if you evaluate teachers, probably a big priority for you, and maybe the top priority for you in the first quarter, is getting your teacher observations done, right? Those formal observations that you have to do for most or all of your teachers, spending substantial time in their classroom, not just a quick walkthrough, but a long, detailed observation. If that's part of your process, this is probably the time of year when you're going to be doing most of those. And then in the second quarter, I'm going to guess that for a lot of people, your priority is going to be completing teacher and staff evaluations. So there you have it. That may be it for the remainder of the school year. Quarter one, teacher observations. Quarter two, final evaluations. If you are looking for an admin job, if you're applying for an assistant principal position or maybe a principal position or a superintendent position, the timeline may work out like this. Now, of course, every district, every organization is going to be a little bit different, but often in the first quarter of the year, people are focused on their applications. They're getting those applications in, they're revising that resume and cover letter. And then in the second quarter, that's when the interviews are taking place. Now again, a smart district probably is doing most of its hiring in January, so you may be already on the job by the second quarter. And if you are, good for you. But I want you to have one priority, one focus in mind for the quarter. And of course, if things change, they change and you will adjust. But mentally, I want you to have a priority in mind for the quarter. If you are thinking about your personal fitness, I think, you know, anytime we're doing something in a school context, we should also try it out mentally in our personal lives and say, okay, does this make sense for me to do in my personal life? Or is this just kind of a strange thing that we've talked ourselves into in education and that doesn't really work? So I always like to have a personal example. So let's say we have a fitness goal for the first quarter of improving our nutrition. Maybe we're trying to undo the damage that the holidays did to our waistline, and we really want to eat healthy in the first quarter. Now, if your priorities for your fitness are eat healthy and run a 10K and get your body fat to a certain point and be able to lift a certain amount and, what have we done? What mistake have we made? Well, we've treated priority as a plural word, when priority is really a single word. We can only have one top priority and everything else is not in first place. So you might decide, okay, in my first quarter, I'm really going to focus on nutrition. And then in my second quarter of this year, I'm going to focus on training for a 10K. Great. You've got your priority. Once you have your priority, here's why we're talking about this. Once you have your priority, you can answer the question, what am I optimizing for? I want to explain what I mean by that. So a friend of mine was attending an art class and she had her supplies with her. You know, she's going to class painting with other people and there was an instructor and she had her paintbrushes. And the guy next to her in the art class had the biggest set of brushes she had ever seen. He had just this huge bundle of paintbrushes that dwarfed hers. And she thought, oh, I'm pretty well prepared for this class, but now I'm second guessing myself. You've got all these paintbrushes. Why do you have so many paintbrushes? Like, were we supposed to have that many different paintbrushes? And he said, yeah, I just kind of panicked and bought one of everything because I don't know what I'm optimizing for. He said, I don't know. Do I need the little one for the fine detail? Do I need the big one? I don't know. I'm new to this. I don't get it. So I don't know what I'm optimizing for. So I didn't make a very good decision and I just bought one of everything. And if you've ever experienced that in your life where you feel like you're just trying to cover all the bases, like it's just a shotgun approach, right? I'm optimizing for everything. I'm going to lift every weight in the gym. I'm going to try every machine once. I'm going to run a 1K and then a 2K. Like I'm just going to do all the things. Is that going to get you toward your goal? And of course, we know the answer is no. I had to laugh when I heard the paintbrush story and heard about the young man saying, "What am I don't know what I'm optimizing for," because this particular young man was a computer scientist. And in computer science, what you're optimizing for has a very specific meaning, and it's very well known that you can optimize for efficiency, like having a small file. You can optimize for efficiency of processing. You can optimize for efficiency of memory usage. You know, in any programming context, there are lots of different things that you can optimize for, and whatever you're not optimizing for can be inefficient. Right? You have to let other things go in order to achieve your priority. So another personal example, over the break, we took our kids to the zoo, and it was a Saturday. It was going to be a cold day. We knew we were going to have to bundle up. So you can see my daughter's got her hat and coat on, even though we're indoors looking at the aquarium. And I decided that for that Saturday, I was not going to optimize for personally having the most fun, for seeing a certain animal. I was not going to optimize for productivity. I was not going to get any work done that day. I decided that I was going to optimize. I remember I actually wrote this in my planner for Saturday. I wrote it in my planner that I was going to optimize for patience, because I know if we've all got all these things we want to accomplish on Saturday and it's our only, you know, weekend day to get out of town and, you know, and do all these things, if we're all optimizing for 10 different goals, then as a family, we're going to have kind of an unpleasant day and we're going to be kind of fighting over different priorities. So I decided that I was going to optimize for patience. And that turned out to be a really good decision when we got to the aquarium at the zoo, because when we got there, we found out that in about 20-25 minutes, they were going to be feeding all of the animals in the aquarium, and it was a ton of fun to watch. But if I had been in a hurry, if I had been, "Come on, we got to go see the lions, come on, we got to go see the elephants and the penguins," then we would have missed what turned out to be a marvelous experience. We got to see them feeding shrimp to the seahorses. We got to see them feeding bigger fish to the piranhas, and we just had a great time. So you have to decide what you are optimizing for. Now, if I'm honest, I've got to include one more slide. I was also optimizing for food. We ate at some amazing restaurants. I did not optimize for nutrition, as you can see here, but we had a marvelous day. I had cheesy grits and you know, homemade sausage. Like, it was just such a wonderful culinary experience. But we have to decide in any context what we're optimizing for. If you go to the gym and you see the dumbbells, the big rack of dumbbells, you know that there are different things that you can optimize for. These are not just for people of different strength, right? They don't have 50 different dumbbells because some people are big and some people are small. They have different sizes of dumbbells because people are optimizing for different things, right? If you are trying to get a lean look and have toned muscles but not real bulky, you want to do more reps with a lighter weight, right? If you're trying to get bulky and big and have really big biceps and triceps, you're going to lift those heavier weights, not as many times, fewer reps, but with a heavier weight, right? So we have to know what we are optimizing for. And I would suggest to you that the best starting place is with that quarterly goal. And again, in our Achievement Science goal system, there are four types: purpose, phase, progress, and practice. And a quarterly goal often is going to be a phase goal. It's going to be a big milestone. Just like if you are in graduate school, a lot is going to happen that matches up with that phase goal level in the course of a quarter. So if you have not watched episode 36, again, I would encourage you to go back and check that out and get a clear understanding of the four types of goals so that you can figure out where you need to do some planning, where you need to do some realignment and get yourself on track to achieve those big goals for the quarter. And we've prepared a worksheet for you. If you go to principalcenter.com/achievement-science-goal-system, you can print that out and have some prompts to think through your goals for a particular purpose. And we talked about that on last week's show. But if you would like my personal assistance with this, I would be happy to sit down with you on a Zoom call and plan out some goals for a quarter if you're part of our Navigator program. So if you are a Navigator member, we have well over 100 members in different countries around the world. We have a lot of schools that have a membership for everyone on their admin team. Let me know if you'd like to talk about goals, and I'd be happy to have a conversation with you and help you set those goals and choose your priority for the quarter. We will also be launching, I'm very excited about this. This is exclusively for Navigator members. We will be launching something called the Achievement Science Quarterly Intensive, designed to mimic the benefits of the academic quarter, you know, like we all experienced in college and graduate school, but for any kind of goal that you're pursuing, whether it's fitness, whether it's family, whether it's professional, whether it's something within your school. I will personally help you set up your goals for the quarter and keep you on track with what we're calling the Achievement Science Accountability Protocol, the ASAP, so that every day you are using that planner to make progress towards your goals. Now, again, the planner is available to all Instructional Leadership Association members, so look in the email that you get every Wednesday for a link to the January planner, and we've already sent out the February and March planners as well. So make sure that you have that planner at least, but if you would like some accountability and some daily support, stay tuned for information about the quarterly intensive to keep you on track. And again, the Navigator membership is a site license, covers everyone in your school, and if you would like that for everyone in your district, if you are a central office administrator, a superintendent, you may be a great fit for the Roundtable, which also includes that that organizational site license. So feel free to reach out at principalcenter.com/navigator or principalcenter.com/roundtable for more information. That's it for now. This has been episode 37 of the Instructional Leadership Show. I'm Justin Bader, and I will see you next time.